Hello and welcome to the Mountain Brook Baptist Project 119 Bible Reading Plan Podcast. I'm Mary, and it's my pleasure to join you in reading God's Word. Today is Tuesday, September 1st. Happy first day of September, and thank you for joining me as we read God's Word together. Today is Testimony Tuesday. At the end of the podcast, I have a powerful testimony from Lisa Turkers, who is a women's ministry leader and author and speaker, and she talks about her interaction with someone on an airplane and the impact of listening to God and being obedient to God. Today, in the passage in John chapter 4, our Lord interacts with someone on a trip as well, the Samaritan woman. We're going to read the first 14 verses of their interaction. I am challenged by Jesus' words, and I'm mindful of what it means that He brings living water. May His Spirit instruct us as we read God's Word together. John chapter 4, verses 1 through 14. When Jesus learned that the Pharisees had heard He was making and baptizing more disciples than John, though Jesus Himself was not baptizing, but His disciples were, He left Judea and went again to Galilee. He had to travel through Samaria, so He came to the town of Samaria called Sychar, near the property that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, worn out from His journey, sat down at the well. It was about noon. A woman of Samaria came to draw water. "Give me a drink," Jesus said to her, because His disciples had gone into town to buy food. "How is it that you, a Jew, ask for a drink from me, a Samaritan woman?" she asked Him, for Jews do not associate with Samaritans. Jesus answered, "If you knew the gift of God and who is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would ask Him and He would give you living water." "Sir," the woman said, "you don't even have a bucket, and the well is deep. So where do you get this living water? You aren't greater than our father Jacob, are you? He gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did his sons and livestock." Jesus said, "Everyone who drinks this water will get thirsty again. But whoever drinks from the water that I will give him will never get thirsty again. In fact, the water I will give him will become a well of water springing up in him for eternal life." In this passage, you might remember that the Samaritans are sort of a mixed race. They are from the Jewish heritage, but they also are intermarried with the people who came into that land when Samaria was sacked by the Assyrians back in 722 BC. So the Jews looked down on the Samaritans. They said they're not true Jewish people because they had intermarried with the people who came into their land. And so when Jesus is here at this well, first of all, it's so surprising that He's talking to a woman, and then also to a Samaritan. What I'm most challenged by is that Jesus took the opportunity to talk with this woman. We talked just on Sunday about loving the world and that it starts with those closest to us, those in our proximity. Who do you see when you go to the grocery store every week? What restaurants do you frequent? Do you have the same wait staff? Who are the neighbors around you in your neighborhood? And how can you start conversations with them that might interest them in talking about deeper things of faith? Jesus begins talking about this living water, which He'll explain much more in chapter 7, linking living water with the Holy Spirit that Jesus places within us when we believe in Him. Tomorrow, we'll learn more about the Samaritan woman, and this week we'll be encouraged by her testimony as well. Let's move on over to Psalm 52. The subscript helps us to understand this a little bit. It says, when Doeg the Edomite went and reported to Saul, telling him, David went to Ahimelech's house. Now, who was Ahimelech? Ahimelech was one of the priests, and Doeg ends up killing, I think, some 85 of the priests because basically they were on David's side and they were helping David, and Saul was not happy about that. And so this psalm is David crying out to the Lord in emotion. He's contrasting Doeg's trust in power and deceit and lying with his own confidence and the steadfast love of God. Why boast about evil, you hero? God's faithful love is constant. Like a sharpened razor, your tongue devises destruction, working treachery. You love evil instead of good, lying instead of speaking truthfully. You love any words that destroy, you treacherous tongue. That is why God will bring you down forever. He will take you, ripping you out of your tent. He will uproot you from the land of the living. The righteous will see and fear, and they will decisively say about that hero, here is the man who would not make God his refuge, but trusted in the abundance of his riches, taking refuge in his destructive behavior. But I am like a flourishing olive tree in the house of God. I trust in God's faithful love forever and ever. I will praise you forever for what you have done. In the presence of your faithful people, I will put my hope in your name, for it is good. Thank you for listening along as we read God's word together. This psalm reminds us that it is foolish when we do not make God our refuge. What is it today that you need to take to the Lord? For a moment, remember his steadfast love for you, most clearly displayed in Jesus Christ our Lord, also displayed in the heavens and the creation around you. And hopefully you feel his love for you in the sound of someone's voice today, in a text or a call, in the community that God has given you. Let's look again at verse 9. I will praise you forever for what you have done, Lord. In the presence of your faithful people, I will put my hope in your name, for it is good. Lord God, you are Yahweh. You are self-existent. You are not derived. You are not contingent. And you have come to be one of us as Jesus Christ, our Lord. We thank you for the opportunity to read your word again. Thank you, Jesus, for not giving up on us, for being open to relationship with every person. Thank you, Lord, for the Psalms, where our emotions can be on display as David wrestles with evil and with those who seem to get ahead when they do things that are not from God. We can see and be encouraged as well to have faith in the God who sees all. Lord, bless my brothers and sisters today, whatever they face. And as we listen to this testimony together, help us to be encouraged, to be watchful for opportunities to share your love with someone in our midst. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, we pray. Amen.
Several years ago, I got on a plane and I was very, very tired. Right before the doors closed, they let one last man sat right beside me. I'm not in the mood to talk to him. I'm really, really tired. So I'll bring out my Bible and I'll read my Bible. And either that will deter him from talking to me or steer us into a better conversation because I'm going to bring up the Bible. He leaned over and he goes, you're just going to sit there and like read the Bible? And suddenly I was not tired any longer. I started sharing with him all of these verses. I pulled a receipt out of my purse and I wrote some verses down. I handed it to him. I said, when you go home, you should get a Bible and you should look up these verses. And immediately God pressed on my heart, Lisa, give this man your Bible. In my head, I'm having an argument with God, like, no, God, this is like my Bible. My tear-stained, highlighted, written in, my kids have drawn pictures in this Bible. It was just this pressure I knew. Give this man your Bible. Sir, I think you're supposed to have my Bible. I wrote about that in one of my books. And 24 years later, last year, I was speaking in San Antonio. Lisa said, there's three women here you have to meet. And it turned out to be the Bible man's daughter, his sister, and a friend of the family. His name was Ron. And they told me the rest of the story. Ron had passed away 3 years prior. But they said, Lisa, we wanted to find you after you wrote about this story because we knew that it was Ron. When he got home, he took a week off from work and he read that Bible. And he eventually gave his heart to Christ. And he led his entire family to Christ. And his daughter looked at me and she said, Lisa, it has been so brutal since the death of my dad, but you want to know the one thing that has comforted me more than anything? She reached in her bag and she pulled out the Bible. I saw my handwriting from all those years ago, and then I saw Ron's handwriting, and then in the 3 years since he passed away, I saw his daughter's handwriting all through the Bible. God, I want to see you. And I say yes to whoever you bring across my path that day, Lord. I will say yes to you and I will bless them in some small way. And both will have a multiplied impact.